For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Paul. Today we're doing something, we're doing it slightly different. My talk's in two parts. So the first part's going to be very short. I'm just going to be talking for 2 or 3 minutes now. Then we're going to sing again, and then there'll be a second part to my talk after that as we turn our focus to communion as well. But just to say, the reason things are different is because today is the launch of a new preaching series. And this series is entitled The Gift of Giving. And over the next 7 weeks or so, we're going to be looking at this theme of giving. Now, I know that you probably sat there thinking, that's all he ever does is talk about giving. It's been a while since I've talked about giving. However, this is going to be a little bit different because it's all going to be geared around all that God has done for us and our response to that. And so we'll be looking at God's gift to us and God's generous love. 1 week we'll be looking at God's helpful love, the following week God's growing love, and God's giving love. And it's all from the viewpoint of God's perspective, but also our approach to these aspects of giving and what our response should be to that. So I'm laying my cards on the table right at the start, and I'm being honest and above board with you, which I always am, but I'm saying it right from the very start of this series, that's going to be our focus. We've got an agenda that we're heading towards a point, and I'm going to share that with you in a moment. But before that, as a church, you will know that we are on a journey, and it's an exciting journey. It's been a really exciting one for the past 4.5, nearly 5 years that I've been here, that we've been here as a family. It's been an interesting journey for the church. We've gone throughout a process of change as a whole church community, and that's been exciting. It's also been painful for a few members of our church, and for some of us leaders, it's been painful as well. It's been an amazing turnaround that we've had to go through as a church. We were a sleepy church that was probably looking at a 5-year decline, and then that was the end of it, possibly, unless things were changed. And we had to make some really big decisions in the early days of being here, which we did bravely for a PCC that put their faith in the new vicar that they didn't know very well. They put their faith in the new vicar, and we made some big changes, which have been an amazing turnaround and an exciting journey. So, let me just explain a little bit. We've seen a lot of things in these last 5 years, and it's led to a new congregation, which is you, sat here today, and a new feeling of family and fellowship that is deepening and growing with each week. We've seen lots of different ministries started and continuing to grow and develop. God is most definitely at work here in Egbeth at St. Anne's, and that's massively exciting. So let's just remind ourselves very briefly of where we've come. I'm going to give a whistle-stop tour of some of the things. This is not everything. It's not an exhaustive list. It's just some of the things that we've done as a church. Because I think it's when you actually write them down, you suddenly think, wow, we've done a lot. So have a listen to what we've done, just some of the things we've done in the last, well, mainly 3 years, to be honest, 3.5 years. We've developed social programs for the church, which you've hopefully got with you today. Stuck inside your notice sheet is a flyer with the socials for 2018. This has been running now for about 3 years. Put these in your diary. These are events for the whole church to come together, to have fun and fellowship, to do stuff together. By doing stuff together, we grow together in love and fellowship. Make these things important in your church, in your life. and your church life becomes more important as well. We've introduced house groups. We've introduced prayer groups. We've got two different prayer groups that happen on two different days. We've run Numa courses and various other Seekers courses. We've run four successful What If courses. We're now on our fifth What If course. We've introduced men's ministry, which has been going for about 2 years and is beginning to really take off. Yesterday was so exciting to see 70 blokes plus here. Yesterday was brilliant. And we're really excited about our first camping weekend, men's camping weekend, coming up in June. Really exciting about that, excited about that. We've introduced women's ministry that over the last 2 years has really sort of been one or two meals sporadically, but now there's a massive focus on that, and there's a team that's leading that and driving that with a set program for ladies to get together. Really exciting. We've begun a fantastic Mums and Tots group, which has been running for 2 years and is going from strength to strength. It's such an encouragement. If you've not been to see the Mums and Tots, if you've got toddlers, come along on a Thursday morning, it's brilliant. We've introduced the Bright Lights Party, which has been a focus on turning our focus from the darkness of Halloween, looking at the light of Christ. This year we had 50 children, not from church, 50 children who came to that party, which was brilliant. We've got a brand new teenage group, Say You group, who are doing great things with that age group. They're taking them on social events and doing things to grow the friendship between them, but they've also got their first youth weekend away planned, coming up in May. How exciting is that? We've run two parish weekends, and this one that just went last September, we took 85 people to Cloverley Hall, which is amazing. We've forged links with Safe Families for Children, and there are a number of people in our congregation now who are involved working with Safe Families for Children, which is absolutely brilliant. We've deepened the Riverside Partnership. We're starting today our new monthly cafe service, which will spread and carry on into the coming months and years ahead. Do come to that. We've started this 11 o'clock service 2 years ago, and it now gets on average about 80 to 90 adults. It's growing, and we get about 70 to 80 children, which is just amazing. We've got fabulous children's work, which is growing and developing and deepening. It's all fantastic stuff. We've got the worship band. We're thin on the ground today, but we've still got a fantastic number of people who can do things, which is amazing. And the worship band has played at other places, such as the confirmation at All Souls last year. Really exciting that we have this opportunity to lead worship in different ways. We've got a pastoral visiting team now, with lots of people who go out into the parish to visit those in need. We've got a meals ministry team, which is taking off now and beginning to be more demanded for people who require meals for different reasons. We were awarded the Child Friendly Award 2 years ago, which is not given lightly, but we got the National Child Friendly Church Award, which is fabulous. That's just a few of the things. I could go on. When you actually say that, you realise what we've done as a church is brilliant, isn't it? And I think we should give ourselves a huge round of applause, because we're doing really well. We're doing really well. But you know, the most important thing in all of that is that it's brought new life. It's brought new life to the church. That's the important thing. There are people now coming and committing themselves to worshipping God here, to following God, and to serving God. That's the new life that all this is bringing. I've just sent my yearly returns in, which you've got to do, to the diocese. And again, that's an encouraging set of figures that I've sent in. Year on year, for the past 3 or 4 years, our numbers are going up. We are a growing church, so be encouraged by that. You might hear in the news that the church is shrinking, the Church of England is dying. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. There's lots of churches, Church of England and other churches, that are growing, and we're one of them. Be excited. Our finances are improving each year. 5 years ago, when I first came, I had the most terrifying phone call from Ian Crowe, who I didn't know very well at the time at all. But I was sat in my study in my other church before I moved here, and Ian Crowe phoned me, and I was chatting to Ian, and he told me, kind of just a throwaway comment, that we're currently running at an £800 a week deficit, and then moved on. And I went, pardon? £800 a week deficit? That's where we were. We were losing that much money a week. We've done all kinds of things, as you know, as a church, to try and counter that. And I'm pleased to say that we've moved considerably towards wiping that out. We're not quite there, but we're nearly there. And that's thanks to you. And I want to thank you so much for all that you continue to give, because you are making a big difference to how we as a church can run. So keep going with that. We're nearly there. Keep going. And thank you for all you do. I hope that's helped to put a little bit of an overview. It's exciting. We have a brilliant future ahead of us. God has got us in his hands, and he's got great plans for each of us as his church here. That's exciting. You should be excited by all that God wants to do for us here. But also, you've got to be a part of that. You've got to be a part of all of that by committing yourselves to that. And one other great encouragement is we've got Matt and Liz and the family sat here. Matt is the first curate to be at St. Anne's in decades, which I think speaks volumes that the diocese have actually approached us to say, can you think about taking a curate on? They must see things in us as a church to say, that's a good place. And we're so excited to welcome Matt and Liz and James. It's fantastic. And all the skills that they bring will benefit us as a church family, as well as being a blessing to them. Be excited, be encouraged. Now, here's the but. There's always a but, isn't there? Here's the but. All these things I've mentioned have taken off because of two things. Firstly, God's love. That's the first one, God's love. And secondly, because people like you have committed yourselves. You've committed yourselves to picking up the mantle and serving God. But not everyone. So where do you fit in with that? I wonder, where are you with that? What do you give to the work of God here, both financially and of your time? What do you give to the work of God here? Because in order to do all the things that we've talked about and more, it takes people. It takes people to get stuck in, to take the lead. It also takes finance as well. We're going to come back to that in a minute, and the next section will be a little bit more child-friendly, a bit more engaging, but we're going to sing before we do that. So let's stand and let's sing our next song together. I love that song where it says, I see a generation rising up to take their place. That's you. You're that generation that we're rising up. We're rising up to do our bit. Because the church is not something new, is it? It's been going on since Jesus was here, over 2,000 years ago. And Jesus said, go and make disciples. Since that day, the church has been out there doing the same thing, making disciples, bringing people to God. And now it's our turn. This is this generation. What are you doing? How are you playing your part? Paul read to us from John's Gospel, and I think it's the most famous verse in all the Bible. I'm sure you can probably quote it, the most famous verse there is in the Bible. I think it's also probably the greatest verse in the Bible. That's quite some statement, because the Bible is a pretty impressive book, but I think that's the greatest verse in the whole Bible. How can I make that statement, I wonder? Right, firstly, we all know a good love story, don't we? For some reason, I keep going in and out, don't I, on this microphone. We all love a good love story. Most people do, anyway. Most people love a good love story. Whenever Nikki and I get a night in and we want to watch a film, she'll always go for some kind of chick flick, as they're called, a love story. I prefer something a little bit more manly and butch, but I never win. We don't get that. We all love a good love story. So, let me see. Shout out. Who can tell me the other half to these couples, famous couples, love stories? Think about it. Dead easy. Who wants to give me the first one? Shout it out. Romeo and? Well done. Well done. Right. This is a bit more tricky, but you'll know it. Bonnie and? But that was for the older ones. But yeah, you'll get that one. This one, ready? Young people, you should know this. Any of the youngsters, not adults, be quiet. Young people, Tarzan and? Oh, well done. Matt, you don't classify Matt as a young person anymore. I'm sorry, not anymore. I turned 44 on Friday. I really am turning old, I think. Anyway, I know you're not that. You're younger than that. I know. Tarzan and Jane, well done. Right, again, for the slightly younger ones, Posh and? Bex, someone was right there. Bex, Posh and Bex. Those who, this is for everyone actually. King Arthur and? Well done, Guinevere. Here. Those of us who know our Bible, Adam and, well done, Adam and Eve, and last one, well no, second to last one, again in the Bible, Old Testament, Samson and, oh well done, Samson and Delilah, well done. Right, this one, last one, ready? God and, oh, God and, well done, God and you, it's you, God, and that's the greatest love story ever. The greatest love story is you and God. God's amazing love goes way beyond our human understanding. We understand what we understand of love, the feelings that we have of love when we fall in love with someone, and we know that that can change you, can't it? You can see when someone's actually fallen in love and it's proper love for the first time, and it's a relationship that you can see is going to go somewhere, that actually changes. You can see the change inside. God's love goes way beyond that. God's love is so, so much deeper than the human feeling that love brings. Massively, massively deeper. Right, the first part of that verse says, you can see it written in the word love there. It's written in. But the first part of that says, for God so loved. For God so loved. Take two words out and just put God loved. That's really all we need to know. That God loves you. God loved. He is love. That's the most important thing to remember. Next, the next part of that, we read that God so loved the world. He created this amazing world, which this morning was beautiful with the ice and the winter's morning. It was stunning this morning. The colors, the brightness. It's a beautiful world. God so loved the world. Second part of that sentence, that he, what did he do? That he gave. God so loved that he gave. Right. What's your most treasured possession? Who wants to tell me? What's your favorite thing that you own? Maybe your Xbox or something. What's your most treasured possession? Anyone want to be honest and tell me what's your favorite thing you own? Mine just happens to be a Suzuki 1250 GSX, which is parked in the garage over there. Anyone got anything? A favorite possession that you own? Oh, hang on. I've got to go to my wife. This is not good. Right. Hang on. Be kind. Yeah.
I should say you, but it's my iPod.
Your iPod. Nicola loves her music, and she's always got her music with her iPod. Yes, and favourite possession. Anyone else going to be honest and open? Right, let me run down there. What's your favourite possession? The favourite thing you own?
Family and friends.
So, say again.
Family and friends.
Oh, that's a very good answer. Did you hear that? Family and friends. What a wonderful answer. Anyone else? Your Bible. Wow. Fantastic. Anyone else? What to say? Gone shy. Some good answers there. From material things to other things. We all have favourite possessions. Things that we enjoy. Things that we love. Some of those things are valuable, aren't they? Monetary-wise, they're valuable things. Some are much more valuable in other ways. Now then, thinking about your treasured thing, I want you all to think about your most treasured thing. Make it a material thing. Think about something you own, your car, your house, your iPod, whatever, your iPhone, whatever it might be. Think something that you really value. Now then, would you give that away? Would you give it really away? Really? Would you give that away? It's not easy, is it? It's quite a hard thing to ask, to give something that you treasure away. Let me just read this verse again. God so loved the world that he gave. What did he give? His son. And when you read it like that, you begin to take it in a bit, don't you? God so loved the world that he gave his son. The most treasured thing that he could give, he gave his son to you and to me. And why did he do it? Well, the first phrase that tells us, because God loved. God so loved that he gave. He gave his son. He gave everything. Everything. And why did he do it? The third part tells us why he did it, which says that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. That's the why. That whoever believed in him may not perish, but have eternal life. In other words, not perish, but live. Not perish, but live. Or, even more simply, live or die. That's the choice that this sentence in the Bible gives you. There's a choice. You either choose to live or die. That's what God is saying. And the ultimate thing of God's love is that he gives you the choice. It's free will. That's how much God loves you, that he won't take that off you. You've got to choose for yourself to accept that free gift. Life or death. And that begins right here and right now. It's not something that we think of when we die. If we accept Jesus Christ in our life as Lord and Savior, here, now, on this day, then we are guaranteed of eternal life here and now. And it starts here and now. Life, eternal life begins the moment you ask Jesus into your life. And it carries on into eternity. It carries on into eternity. That's what that whole verse is about. That we can enjoy that relationship with God right now, and that will never end. But you have a choice. You can either choose to accept that or not accept that. If you choose to not accept that, then you choose death. That's what the Bible says. What's death? It's hell. One way, you're going to live forever. That's what it says. Eternal life will go forever. Either heaven or hell. That's the choice that you're given. What is hell? Hell is a place that is not a nice place, because it's a place that is separate. Hell is separate from God's love. Where God is good, hell isn't. So it's a place where there's no goodness. That's what hell is. And we're given a choice. We're given a choice. And they're important. So as I finish, I'm going to draw to a close. I do need to talk about one or two things. How are we going to respond to this? First of all, the greatest love that you could ever know, the greatest love we could ever experience, have you accepted that love? Second point, the greatest gift that you could ever have you accepted the free gift in your life? And the third point, the greatest choice that you are given, have you made that choice? If you haven't and you want to know how to make that, speak to me or Matt after the service. Don't leave here without speaking to me or Matt, and we'll talk you through how you can make that choice for yourself. But to finish, I started this talk with an exciting journey that we're on, and challenging how committed are you to that journey, to this church, to God's church here, and what are you doing? I'm sure by now you'll have heard of the plans that we have to develop the church building. To change it from this, let's be honest, it's dated, it's cold, and it's tired. And it's got poor facilities. Let's be honest, it has poor facilities. And the idea is to turn it into something new, something exciting, amazing, comfortable, warm, bright, inspiring, fit for mission in today's world. It's a big vision. At the end of this series, in 7 weeks' time, we're heading towards a gift weekend. Now, this gift weekend is the 17th and the 18th of March. It's a weekend where the church will be open for Saturday and Sunday, and we'll be inviting people to come and to help pledge to give financially to this project. We'll also be at that weekend launching the major fundraising and launching the whole thing out there. I'm going to tell you right now that we need to raise £750,000. 3/4 of a million. It sounds impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. Look how far we've come. Think back to what I said at the start. Look how far this church has journeyed. It's only just beginning. This is an exciting time for God's church here in Egbeth. Nothing is impossible with God. There's the story of the preacher, you'll know it. The story of the preacher who stands before his congregation and says, "Great news! We've managed to raise all the money we need for our redevelopment project. The bad news is, it's in your pockets." That's the truth, and that's the reality. So what is your response to that amazing God that I've just talked about, that gave everything? What is your response to him? On our pledge weekend, every single house in this parish in the next, well, on the fifth week of that weekend, of the 7-week series, on the fifth week, every house will be leafleted. We need your help to do that. Every house will have a leaflet and an envelope, which is inviting them to come to the weekend services on that pledge weekend, the celebration service, but also inviting them to give to their church. We need your help to distribute those in the coming weeks. In addition to that, we also need to make sure that we not just invite them to come, but we tell others about this. If you've got gifts, if you've got skills, connections, that you can do something to help with that, then you need to speak to me, Ian Crow, Matt, talk to us. There's a team of people that are working behind the scenes on this. We need help. If you've got gifts in writing grant applications, we desperately need your help, because we're trying to raise a lot of money. That's going to come through different avenues. We also need to maintain our weekly giving. That's the thrust to this. We can't let the weekly giving drop. That has to continue to grow, as well as the fundraising for the major build. Let me put it like this, very briefly, I'm finishing. If we had 20 people that pledged £25, if they come on that weekend and they pledge to give £25 a month, that's a lot of money, but it's not in the grand scheme of things. £25, it's a Saturday night takeaway, isn't it? That's what it is. If you're prepared to sacrifice that one thing because of all that God gave for us, if you can sacrifice your Saturday night takeaway once a month, £25 a month, if 20 people did that, that's £500. If you take that over a year, that's £6,000. Over 3 years, £18,000. That makes a big difference. Suddenly that 25 quid becomes £18,000. That's a lot of money. And all of the things that can go on around that as well. I believe this is God's will for us. And I am passionate that we can do this as a church. We have an amazing God. An amazing God for whom nothing is impossible. How much are you going to commit yourselves to the Space to Grow project? Time, talents, and your money. How much can you commit? We need to catch this vision. Imagine what this place will be like. If you've not seen the basic plans that are on the back, the full plans will be coming out in the next few weeks. We've got them, but we'll be starting to drip feed things in the next 6 or 7 weeks, and you'll be hearing more and more as we go through this. Just get excited by this vision, please. I pray that you'll get excited and be encouraged by all that's going on. The possibilities are endless with what we could do with this building. I've talked long enough. I'm going to finish it there. Let me pray. But if you have questions, then do speak to one of the team and we can talk you through things. Let's pray together. Lord, it's a really exciting vision that we have for your church here, Lord, which we believe is your vision for this church. We pray, Lord, that in the coming weeks, as we hear more and more, that we all would get excited by this vision, that we'd see the possibilities for your church here as it's transformed to be what it needs to be. And Lord, we pray that even now, that you would stir in our hearts, Lord, to challenge us as to how we can get involved and all that we can give to this. And we ask this in your name. Amen.